Wednesday, September 13th, 2017, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And a wild ride it is. We're going to talk about some of that wildness this morning. We'll go back in the Wayback Machine a little bit and knock around a bit, shall we say. I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We're all road warriors, those who would esteem ourselves to be. And as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discussion. So during yesterday's broadcast, there was a book that I mentioned I could not recall that discussed in fairly pedestrian fashion the skull and bones relationship of a certain Yale alum, and it's pretty shocking, in my opinion, the way it reads. The book, and well, the book I couldn't recall during yesterday's broadcast is titled Initiative in Energy, The Story of Dresser Industries, published back in 1979 and written by Darwin Payne. I haven't grabbed it yet, my copy, and again, I have that copy thanks to Bill in Idaho, one of the keepsakes that I have, thanks to Bill in Idaho, but I haven't grabbed my copy yet, but I will soon, I promise, and I also promise to share the relevant Skull and Bones passage when I do. Incidentally, Skull and Bones, isn't that the Jolly Roger? So are they merely Ivy League pirates? But I digress. So this book, Initiative and Energy, and its author, Darwin Payne, are interesting fodder. The relevant passages are located on pages 114 and 115. There are some other passages, like on page 189, that are also interesting. Some brief excerpts from pages 114 and 115, and then we'll move on. Page 114, the conversion of the company already had begun, but the man who would command it was not in sight. This is kind of where it starts. This was the problem being discussed one day in mid-December by Roland Harriman, Prescott Bush, and their associate and former Yale classmate, Knight Woolley. When a secretary interrupted them, Neil Mallon, still another Yale classmate, was waiting outside. So that's sort of conspicuous, a bunch of Yale alum hanging around. Story of Neil Mallon is told sort of from a Yale perspective. At Yale, Mallon excelled in everything. He majored in economics and history, but was fascinated even more by his study of physics. He was a star performer on the Yale basketball team and was named to the All-America Intercollegiate Team. Kind of talks about what a standout student he was. But here is the specific passage. He was a member of the prestigious secret society Skull and Bones, so revered, so secretive was Skull and Bones that no member deigned to utter its name in the presence of non-members. Harriman, Bush, Woolley, and Mallon had been fellow members in this society. So there you go. They're all members of the prestigious secret society Skull and Bones. So revered, so secretive was Skull and Bones that no member deigned to utter its name in the presence of non-members. Harriman, Bush, Woolley, and Mallon had been fellow members in the society. So you don't know much about Neil Mallon, but the other members mentioned, Harriman, Bush, and Woolley, are notoriously infamous, history records, because after all, they are just a gang of Ivy League pirates. But it's an interesting book, and we'll talk more about that. Dresser Industries, though. Again, the book is titled Initiative and Energy. The Story of Dresser Industries by Darwin Payne. And digging around a bit, searching about Dresser Industries is interesting. You find some of the history sort of whitewashed, very little. If you go to the Wikipedia entry, for instance, you won't find a reference to Yale. You, of course, won't find a reference to Skull and Bones. But the Texas State Historical Association has a page on Dresser Industries, and Dresser is spelled D-R-E-S-S-E-R, like a dresser. And on that page, we find these words. By 1927, the company's annual sales had reached $3.7 million, and some 400 workers were required to keep up with the demand. Dresser's descendants, because Dresser Industries was started by Solomon Robert Dresser, and as part of the infamous Rockefeller oil boom, Dresser's descendants, that is Solomon Robert Dresser, his descendants, who had been operating the company since the founder's death, decided to sell it. And in 1928, the Wall Street investment banking firm of W.A. Harriman, speaking of infamy, converted the firm into a public company by issuing 300,000 shares of stock. H. Neil Mallon was selected as president and chief executive officer. He held that position until his retirement in 1962, so about 30 years. Under Mallon, a Cincinnati native and Yale graduate and Skull and Bonesman, whose earlier experience had been in the canning industry. It's kind of interesting. So, sure, he's a great student. He has no experience in this industry, natural gas, oil, and sort of auxiliary functionality. But no matter, he was selected to run the company as president and chief executive officer, coming from the canning industry. It's kind of interesting. So the point is, we'll kind of pile up a series of odd coincidences. That's one. Continuing, future United States President George Bush worked for the company in several positions after the war. His father, Prescott Bush, again, speaking of infamy, remember, you'll recall that speaking of Harriman, Brown Brothers Harriman, and Prescott Bush, Prescott Bush had his fortune that he made, the millions that he made from financing the Nazi war machine as part of the Brown Brothers Harriman financial coterie, financing the Hitler war machine. Prescott Bush had his fortune from that financing confiscated by Congress for a period. It was, I should say, frozen. Never really confiscated. It was frozen for a period of time and then returned because, you know, finally the scandal blew over. This is how this works. Speaking of the power elite, the conversation that I mentioned yesterday, in this broadcaster's humble opinion, the deep state can be explained very simply as the fruition of James Madison, the father of the Constitution's definition of tyranny. What he said may justly be pronounced the very definition of tyranny seems to me to be precisely the definition of the deep state as well. And what I mean is, when Madison said the accumulation of all powers, legislative, executive, and judiciary in the same hands, whether of one, a few, or many, that half of the quote is the administrative state, as I said yesterday. That's precisely what the administrative state does. The administrative fourth branch, the quasi-offshoot of the executive, they say, though it's its own entity, as evinced by, for example, Senator Pat McCarran, the Senate Judiciary Chair on the Senate floor in 1946, as Congress was passing the Administrative Procedure Act, saying, "We have created a fourth branch, which is administrative in nature, if I may so term it." So the administrative state, or the administrative fourth branch, does precisely that. It accumulates all powers, legislative, executive, and judiciary in the same hands. I mentioned yesterday R.J. Pistrito's quoting of Gary Lawson and his Rise and Rise of the Administrative State in Pistrito's The Birth of the Administrative State, where it came from and what it means for limited government. So that's the first half. Those are the mechanics. That's the machinery. The administrative state accumulates all powers, legislative, executive, and judiciary in the same hands, whether of one, a few, or many. But who are they? Second half of Madison's words, whether hereditary, self-appointed, or elective, that together, that combined, may justly be pronounced the very definition of tyranny, Madison wrote in Federalist Number 47. Well, the other half is what C. Wright Mills referred to as the power elite. Importantly, from the Wikipedia entry on the power elite, importantly, and in distinction from modern American conspiracy theory, Mills explains that the elite themselves may not be aware of their status as an elite. That's sort of, you know, maybe at a certain level, but then at a certain level, they're very aware. And this is a point that's always made. Remember, Edward Bernays, for example, made the same point in Propaganda, as to assuage the troubled conscience of the average American who finds this very disturbing, as everyone should, naturally. So some may not be aware of their status as an elite, even though they're groomed to be that. Just read Bertrand Russell's Impact of Science on Society, noting that they are uncertain about their roles, and without conscious effort, they absorb the aspiration to be the ones who decide. And that's a very misleading statement. When you're groomed to do that, it's not accidental. Nonetheless, he sees them as a quasi-hereditary caste. Aha, here's where we get into the second half of Madison's quote from Federalist 47. The members of the power elite, according to Mills, often enter into positions of societal prominence through educations obtained at Eastern establishment universities like Harvard, Princeton, and Yale. But Mills notes, Harvard or Yale or Princeton is not enough. The point is not Harvard, but which Harvard? Mills identifies two classes of Ivy League alumni, those initiated into an upper echelon fraternity or final club, such as Porcelain and Fly Club, and those who are not. Aha. Now we're getting somewhere. Those so initiated, Mills continues, receive their invitations based on social links first established in elite private preparatory academies, where they are enrolled as part of antebellum family traditions. In this manner, the mantle of elite generally passes through families. The resulting elites, who control the three dominant institutions, military, economic, and political, can be generally grouped into one of six types, according to Mills. The Metropolitan 400, celebrities, the chief executives, the corporate rich, the warlords, the political directorate. And speaking of the warlords, really it's all kind of the same cabal. But speaking of the warlords, didn't George Carlin say that America is an oil company with an army? But again, I digress. So these concepts together, the administrative state as the mechanics and the power elite, as C. Wright Mills defined the term, to run the machinery of the administrative state effectively is the deep state. And as I said yesterday, it extends beyond the independent agencies of the administrative fourth branch. It extends far beyond that to, for example, organizations like InQtel, the CIA's front company for venture capital, for technological investment, the VC company, front company, that now serves the broader intelligence community, so they say, the rudder for Silicon Valley technological innovation and development. It extends to the initiative that Kofor Black and Enrique Rick Prado started when they left the CIA back in 2004, creating a network of assets that were a degree or more separated from these agencies so that agencies like the CIA, DEA, etc. could make use of these assets and maintain a high degree of plausible deniability. Well, we don't know anything about it because we don't even know who they were. So the deep state extends beyond, obviously, and it keeps expanding. Why? Because, well, after all, many, if not most, or even dare we say all, of these folks at this point, these final club folks, the upper echelon final club fraternal network, the quasi-hereditary caste, as C. Wright Mills calls it, they're, again, Skull and Bones and various other organizations, and as such, just Ivy League pirates. So it's not surprising when we see them employ intrigue and deception and piracy on the high seas of the world to plunder everyone else. It's interesting. People don't think at a certain point when the hubris gets to a certain level, one has to think it's pretty easy for people like this to take advantage of the naivete or the good nature of most folks. Most people have no idea that, yes, Virginia, there is a conspiracy and there are people who plan in secret to do bad things together. And we'll talk about some interesting coincidences today in that sort of a scenario. Folks plotting in secret, planning in secret to do bad things. We'll get back to Dresser Industries. Darwin Payne, an interesting name. And we'll even tie it back to the John F. Kennedy assassination. Stick around, we'll be back right after this short break.
Nutramedical's new True Silver is a new angstrom silver wrapped in hydrogen and with a liposomal enzymatic envelope to deliver to target tissues. It will kill all viruses, bacteria, parasites, and pathogens. It goes through the biofilm with an amazing new technology developed by Dr. Bill at NutraMedical.com. You can get this amazing new nutraceutical, which is non-toxic for the eye, respiratory tract, or nose, or skin, at NutraMedical, NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com, or our order line, 888-212-8871. This new technology releases the silver ion to stimulate not only killing pathogens, but stimulates tissue regeneration and stem cell activation. It is thousands of times stronger than any colloidal or ionic silver complex, and with its enzymatic liposomal envelope, delivers it to the target tissues with very small dosages.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party and...
We're having fun already. It sounds like there's some jogging going on in the audio and some buffering issues and fun stuff. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully we can stay on track. This is sort of conjectural and maybe anecdotal in nature, these coincidences. But, and I'll mention this again, but I have to say, you know, on this, I just kept, as I was digging more and more on this just last night, I can't help but be reminded, you know, speaking of all of the string of ostensible coincidences that we'll talk about, as always, I'm ever reminded of the words of former House Intelligence Committee chairman, former FBI agent, and former Congressman Mike Rogers regarding the initial White House narrative on Benghazi when he was interviewed by Chris Wallace on September 16th, 2012. And, you know, speaking of that, we should probably come back to this, but I would like to play the first minute of Susan Rice. I thought it was so funny. We should play this often if we can. Let's play the first minute of Susan Rice on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace. Whenever you're ready, if you want to play the first minute of that clip, it would be fantastic. The clip I'm talking about is Ambassador Susan Rice, Rep. Mike Rogers. Yeah, go ahead if you're ready.
Joining us now, our Ambassador to the United Nations, Susan Rice. Ambassador, welcome back to Fox News Sunday.
Thank you.
This week, there have been anti-American protests in 24 countries across the Islamic world. The White House says it has nothing to do with the president's policies. Let's watch.
This is not a case of protests directed at the United States writ large or at U.S. policy. This is in response to a video that is offensive.
You don't really believe that.
Chris, absolutely I believe that, because in fact it's the case. We've had the evolution of the Arab Spring over the last many months. But what sparked the recent violence was the airing on the internet of a very hateful, very offensive video that has offended many people around the world. Now, our strong view is that there's no excuse for violence. It's absolutely reprehensible and never justified. But in fact, there have been those in various parts of the world who have reacted with violence. Their government.
So, I mean, that's, first of all, I think it's awesome, Chris Wallace. Looks at Susan Rice and says, you don't believe that. The statement by White House Press Secretary Jay Carney, this is not a case of protest directed at the United States writ large. This is a response to a video that is offensive. Now, remember, that was the initial White House narrative, which was false. And you can go over to Judicial Watch, for example, and see not only was this story false, not only were they trying to concoct some phony narrative days in advance of the press junket, but they knew about the attack in advance in a variety of ways at a variety of levels, which I think amounts to criminal culpability at some point. But again, I digress. So Chris Wallace, they play the clip of Jay Carney saying this was in response to a video that is offensive. Wallace says point blank, you don't really believe that. And Susan Rice, of course, says, but, you know, of course we believe that. And that's what sparked the recent violence. It was the airing of the internet of the video, very hateful and very offensive video. But then I think it's interesting. She says, our strong view is that there is no excuse for violence. It is absolutely reprehensible and never justified. Really? Well, what about the United States military industrial complex and its employment of terrorism effectively in soft power, hard power, and smart power, which, by the way, is what it sounds like. You know, when you listen to the rest of what she says, we won't play that, but it's exactly what she's talking about. Remember, Hillary Clinton loves smart power, hard power, soft power, and smart power. But again, perhaps I digress. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle humps. Ready to race to you. This is
Welcome back. The relevant passage, we played Susan Rice's ridiculous statement. Chris Wallace plays the clip. Jay Carney saying this is White House Press Secretary Jay Carney saying this is in response to a video that is offensive. Chris Wallace says, you don't really believe that, to Susan Rice. She says, absolutely. That's what happened. And of course, that was very quickly disproven. And we know that Susan Rice has a propensity for grandiosity when she's lying, apparently taking a cue from dictators who say that the bigger and more outrageous the lie, the more believable. She seems to kind of operate on that basis. But the operative excerpt from that interview was Congressman Mike Rogers, when Mike Wallace asks him, do you agree with the ambassador? about this. You know, Congressman, he says, you just heard Ambassador Rice say that her latest indications are that the attack on the consulate in Benghazi was a spontaneous demonstration about that video that spun out of control. Do you agree with the ambassador? And Mike Rogers starts by saying, I think it's just too early to make that conclusion. Exactly. You know, he says there's analysts in Department of Defense and CIA. There's operatives in both places. And as an FBI agent, I get to look at all of that. I come to a different conclusion. They're only moderately confident it was a spontaneous event because there's huge gaps in what we know. So he's saying not only are there gaps, but the investigation isn't over yet. Anyway, he gets to the point where he says the first thing you learn as a young FBI agent is this. There are coincidences, but they're not likely. And there are a lot of coincidences about this event. When you start to stack up a series of fortuitous coincidences, well, gosh, maybe you should go to Vegas. Maybe you should buy a lottery ticket. For example, when you happen to publish a document in September of 2000 titled Rebuilding America's Defenses, where you say that, you know, things are likely to continue along in a very ho-hum fashion, barring some catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor. And then you publish a monograph or a book the following April 2001, that is, titled Rebuilding America's Defenses, or excuse me, not Rebuilding America's Defenses, Preparing the U.S. Army for Homeland Security, Concepts, Issues, and Options, by the RAND Corporation, of course. You publish that and, you know, a number of other things like it. And suddenly the opportunity presents itself in ROM crisis, opportunities of crisis, Emmanuel fashion. One has to wonder, because as I always say, speaking of ROM Emmanuel, no one plans what they're going to do with the insurance money if their business burns or their house burns. No one does that, except, of course, arsonists, which gets back to my point about the Ivy League pirates, the Ivy League terrorists, otherwise known as Skull and Bones, for instance. It's interesting, I've mentioned it before, but on those lines, the TrueStream Media video, the Secret Society's video they put out not long ago, I've mentioned it before, but this is, you know, obviously it kind of dovetails with this discussion. It was published 3 months ago. It's titled These 100 Secret Societies Prove Who Really Rules. All the final clubs you didn't know about. And it's probably important to add, before I go too much further, you know, when you see the Susan Rices of the world on talking, and there seems to be a great deal of division, particularly among the power elite, if you will, it's not really division. That was something, it's something that's been discussed. It may look like there's division. I want to say Carol Quigley wrote about that. You keep everyone on the same page. There really is no fundamental disagreement. The operative excerpt, I think, is these words. Elites everywhere reconcile easily despite the surface controversy. The general public is not involved, only manipulated in debates of this type. The gulf between elite thinking and thinking at a popular level is enormous. Here is where we find distortions and tensions difficult or even impossible to resolve. So they agree. That's an excerpt from the Club of Rome's infamous book, The First Global Revolution, a report by the Council of the Club of Rome. So that's kind of the operative concept here. When we talk about the power elite, it's this idea that elites everywhere reconcile easily despite the surface. Actually, I think that's Quigley's Anglo-American establishment. Anyway, elites everywhere reconcile easily despite the surface controversy. The general public is not involved, only manipulated in debates of this type. The gulf between elite thinking and thinking at a popular level is enormous. That's true because, well, the common man doesn't think of his fellow man as cattle or worse. In today's society, cattle are actually treated better than one's fellow man. The gulf between elite thinking and thinking at a popular level is enormous. Here is where we find distortions and tensions difficult or even impossible to resolve. So that kind of that should make it pretty clear. Yeah, that was the first global revolution by the Club of Rome. So, and that's another one of those awful books that I don't know, maybe folks should read, maybe not. The First Global Revolution, a report by the Council of the Club of Rome. But again, I digress. So moving back kind of to where we were at, all of these coincidences, but what coincidences? Well, I mentioned Dresser Industries, continuing from the Texas State Historical Association entry, future United States President George Bush worked for the company in several positions after the war. His father, Prescott Bush, had been a W.A. Harriman & Company executive who had been involved in the conversion of Dresser to a public company, and he served on the board of directors for 22 years. It sounds very ho-hum. It's kind of a yawner, but when history is contrived, the historical narrative is contrived, this is what you wind up with. That's why history classes in what is so-called public school is always a snoozer. So let's get to the more interesting history. The Halliburton Wikipedia entry under the section titled History 1990s specifically has these words. In 1998, Halliburton merged with Dresser Industries, which included Kellogg. Prescott Bush was a director of Dresser Industries, which is now part of Halliburton. His son, former President George H.W. Bush, worked for Dresser Industries in several positions from 1948 to 51 before he founded Zapata Corporation. Zapata is a link. Well, what's Zapata Corporation? More fun and hijinks. That link links to HRG Group. What is HRG Group? New York Stock Exchange, HRG symbol, formerly Harbinger Group Incorporated. What is a harbinger? A foreboding, a foreshadowing of something, typically something bad to come? Interesting. Harbinger is usually a pejorative. Harbinger Group. Formerly Harbinger Group, Inc. and Zapata Corp. is a holding company. That's always a tip-off, based in Rochester, New York, and originating from an oil company started by a group including former United States President George H.W. Bush in 2009. It was renamed the Harbinger Group, Inc. It all sounds very above board, doesn't it? No. So under early business history, the initial $1 million investment for Zapata was provided by the Leidecke brothers and their circle of investors by Bush's father, Prescott Bush, and his maternal grandfather, George Herbert Walker, and their family circle of friends. Of course, we can't know who those are because they're all Skull and Bones men. Hugh Leidecke was named President. Bush was Vice President. Overby soon left. And here's where it gets very kind of head-scratchery. According to a CIA internal memo, what? This is early business history? According to a CIA internal memo dated November 29, 1975, Zapata Petroleum began in 1953 through Bush's joint efforts with Thomas Devine, a CIA staffer, wink, wink, who had resigned his agency position that same year, sure, to go into private business, but who continued to work for the CIA under commercial cover. It all sounds very above board, doesn't it? Devine would later accompany Bush to Vietnam in late 1967 as a, quote, cleared and witting commercial asset, end quote, of the agency, acting as his informal foreign affairs advisor and had a close relationship with him through 1975. And of course, so Thomas Devine, apparently a CIA staffer who had resigned his agency position in 1975 to go into private business, but who worked for the CIA under commercial cover. So he resigned from the agency, but not so fast. And then shortly thereafter, of course, George H.W. Bush was to become DCI, Director of Central Intelligence. So one coming out, allegedly, one going in, and they're starting a private company, running a private company. And so skipping forward, in 1960, Jorge Diaz Serrano of Mexico was put in touch with Bush by Dresser Industries. Dresser was owned by Prescott Bush's Yale friends, Rowland and W. Averill Harriman, and had been George H.W. Bush's first employer upon his graduation from Yale, giving him his start in both the oil business and the defense contractor business. So that's all interesting, isn't it? Speaking of the power elite, by the way, I should back up to Halliburton. We know the story of Dick Cheney. It's kind of funny. Speaking of the power elite and these circles that Mills talks about, I mean, Halliburton and Dick Cheney is a prime example of exactly what C. Wright Mills talks about, this the folks who circle or traffic in the military, economic, and political system. Dick Cheney, Halliburton, perfect example from the Wikipedia entry. It's all very pedestrian. It's all just a yawner, right? Again, in the section 1990s under early history, we find this entry. Following the end of Operation Desert Storm in February 1991, the Pentagon, led by the then Defense Secretary Dick Cheney, paid Halliburton subsidiary Brown and Root Services over $8.5 million to study the use of private military forces with American soldiers in combat zones. That study was a setup, obviously, by the way. Halliburton crews also helped bring 725 burning oil wells under control in Kuwait. How did they come to be on fire? But that's a different discussion. I digress. In 1995, just 4 years after the study, of course, Cheney replaced Thomas Cruickshank as chairman and CEO of Halliburton, that is. Cruickshank had served since 1989. How convenient. See, trafficking in these circles. And you would think that we would circle back in history and say, wait a second, Dick Cheney spearheaded the effort to commission a study to use private military forces, PMCs, and then he ended up at the one of the very companies that provided said PMCs, private military contractors. It was all kind of pre-planned and orchestrated. And then he sets up the study that says, you know, this might be a good idea. And then he goes and leads the company. Doesn't that sound scandalous? Isn't there an element of intrigue, deception, misleading the American public and insider trading and all kinds of other nefarious activities? But again, I digress. So it's evidence that C. Wright Mills is right. The power elite are steering things, not even so much from behind the scenes, it's just right out in the open. American public apparently doesn't have a problem with it. Not really. You and I know different. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promote stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Welcome back. Been talking about so far in the first hour the book that I couldn't recall during yesterday's broadcast. The book titled Initiative in Energy, The Story of Dresser Industries, published back in 1979, authored by Darwin Payne. And as I said earlier, I haven't grabbed it yet, but I will soon, I promise, and I also promise to share the relevant Skull and Bones passage in its entirety on pages 114 and 115 and some other relevant passages. But just to kind of go back briefly, the operative passage is found on page 115, Skull and Bones, the prestigious secret society, so revered, so secretive was Skull and Bones that no member deigned to utter its name in the presence of non-members. Harriman, Bush, Woolley, and Mallon had been fellow members in the society. One must then ask, how did Darwin Payne come across this information? If Skull and Bones is so revered and so secretive that no member deigned to utter its name in the presence of non-members, yet somehow Darwin Payne happens on this information and even goes as far as to write that Harriman, Bush, Woolley, and Mallon had been fellow members in the society. And so what one comes away with is a provocative view as you study Dresser Industries and how this coterie of folks came together. It's all very unlikely. They kind of chalk it all up to happenstance, but it's all very unlikely. It's all a series of unlikely coincidences unless one considers the Skull and Bones relationship. So one comes away with a provocative, insightful glimpse beyond the curtain or behind the curtain of the power elite and conspiracy, really. It's not just the odd timing of certain events, but like I mentioned, the bringing of Neil Mallon on board. Excuse me, fellow Skull and Bonesman Neil Mallon. The timing was weird. His background was strange. George H.W. Bush starting at Dresser Industries, and these folks, you know, Mallon working, being brought in as president and CEO, Bush working in a number of capacities, high level, not really defined, kind of squishy, fluid capacities. It's all very odd. Harriman taking the company public, that's all very interesting too. And there's a section in the book on that on page 189. But again, I digress. We'll talk more about the book's author, Darwin Payne, because that's when it starts to really kind of get interesting in the second hour. Stick around. Second hour coming up right after this short break.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.